Hi, and welcome to the Passionistas Project podcast. We're Amy and Nancy Harrington. If you enjoy listening to the show, please consider becoming a patron. Just a small donation of $1 a month can help us keep the project going. And you'll get rewards like buttons, access to premium content, and invites to Passionistas Project events. Today, we're talking to filmmaker, writer, and director Shaz Bennett. Shaz was one of 8 people selected into the prestigious AFI Directing Workshop for Women, and was winner of the New York Women in Film and Television's Nancy Malone Award. Most recently, she directed an episode of the critically acclaimed drama series Queen Sugar on OWN, the Oprah Winfrey Network. So please welcome to the show, Shaz Bennett.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
What are you most passionate about?
I'm most passionate about story. I mean, film, television, great conversation. I just want to listen to people tell their stories and be a storyteller. You know, that's been my passion since I was a little kid. I'm from Utah originally, and growing up, there wasn't a lot of film and television around me until once a year the Sundance Film Festival would appear, and that's when I really truly fell in love with just stories and the ability to like introduce you to a whole other world that I was not experiencing in Salt Lake City, Utah.
So tell us about how that love of storytelling became your career.
I mean, it took a little while, I would say. I started taking tickets at the Sundance Film Festival when I was like 13 years old, and always wanted to be a filmmaker and talked about being a filmmaker and was making little movies on the side. But I'm not from a lot of money, so I needed a job in order to pay my rent and get by. So I started working as a film programmer originally, like just kind of moving my way up in the film festival world from ticket taker to film programmer, and worked at Sundance and LA Film Festival and AFI Fest. And then there was just a point in my life where it's like, there's no time like the present. So I reached out to a friend of mine. I kind of always wanted to work in television, but I had come from the independent film world, and there just wasn't, I didn't see the path, or I didn't know how to do that. So I reached out to a friend of mine who's a really great television writer, and she said, yeah, write me 10 scripts and give me your best one. So I took a year and just wrote and wrote and wrote, which taught me so much about the process of, you know, every script you write, you're going to get better. Every time you direct, you're going to get better. So that gave me the confidence and the ability to sort of say, okay, here's my best one. And then she got me a job as a writer's assistant on this show, The Glades. It was like a cop show set in Florida. And that was my very first job in TV. And then from that, I moved to directing more and did the AFI Directing Workshop for Women and did a short film that ultimately became my feature film. And now I'm on another TV show.
Tell us about the AFI Directing Workshop and how that impacted your career.
Yeah, it was great. The thing that's so interesting about any of these programs is it is sort of like a stamp of approval. The process itself is, you know, 3 weeks, and you're just, all you're doing is focusing on film. And I hadn't had that luxury, really, because I've been working and, you know, always like it was like my side hustle. And so for 3 weeks, all I was doing was focusing on making this movie. And then there's 8 women in the group. And because of the way that program is, they like women that have worked in the business in different areas. So we had an actress, we had a cinematographer, we had writers, we had producers, and then all of us were learning from each other too. So you're in a group every year with 8. And then each year that class kind of gets married into the rest of the alumnae, and it becomes this like huge sisterhood of directors. And then we meet like kind of monthly or quarterly and talk about like craft. And so I'm trying to shoot this fight scene. Like, where do you put the camera here and there? And just kind of breaking it down for each other. And it becomes, it now has become just a huge support system. And the 8 women that I was in the program with were just like family. I've been very lucky. Like, I'm sort of surprised when people talk about how they don't know a lot of women directors, because I'm just in so many of these groups that I'm kind of like, wow, I'm in this great group with the AFI. And then I was in this Fox Top 20 directors, it was 20 women directors. And that also, that group, we're very close and we're always recommending each other for stuff and they're very supportive. And then Queen Sugar was just sort of the next extension of that. And Ava DuVernay has created this world where nobody nobody's competing. Nobody's like, everyone's just trying to help each other up. I remember going to direct Queen Sugar. I was on the plane and I never sat in first class. I grew up really poor. So I was sitting in first class and I just texted Ava and Kat and Domaine. And I was like, I'm so happy I'm here and thank you for this opportunity. And this is just incredible. And Ava just immediately responded and was like, I remember that feeling. Now you take that and go kill your episode and then pass that on to somebody else. And I think about that all the time, about like what a gift to give that to me and for me to give that to somebody else. And just going forward, it's a completely different world. There's no, you know, we've always been sort of fighting for the one seat at the table, but it's like, no, actually, you know, just move over a little bit. There's space for all of us. There's nobody like trying to take your job. It's just there's room for everybody.
So talk about working on Queen Sugar and that atmosphere of women and what you think that brings to the storytelling on the show.
When you really sit down and talk to people, so many of us were raised by our mothers. So our mothers kind of became the person that taught us how to tell a story, how to get by in the world. And it's interesting that it's sort of so random that we have to have all female directors and there's some female gaze or something, because it is a female gaze, but it's just a human gaze. And it's just like, what's so great about going on a set where it's all women directors is that you can just talk about the directing, you can talk about the story, and it's like all of that stuff you have to like wear, you know, you're just like, okay, like, let's just talk about directing. And we were just Kat and Domaine and Ava. And for this episode, I feel like I want to shoot it like this and this. People are like, yeah, that sounds great. I'm giving references. And we're just talking about the craft of directing. We're all really accomplished directors. We've all been students of films. We love films. I mean, I've watched 1,000 movies for 10 years of my life straight. I know movies and what I'm looking for. I just need somebody to go, hey, like, go ahead, go make that. That's been such a huge gift. I've just been thinking about it lately because my father was also a huge influence on my life, but my dad would never think that his story was more valid than my mother's story. Like, to them, to me, they were just a unit, and they raised their kids to like think that all of our opinions were important. So I don't know why it's taken Hollywood so long to catch up to the fact that there's 51% of the population that their stories aren't being told, you know? So, I mean, I think on Queen Sugar particularly, like, Ava's just set this world where it's just like, let's give these women, these directors, let's give these directors an ability to succeed. And let's let them tell stories and use their craft and use their skills. And it's really incredible. So much fun.
How did you get involved with Queen Sugar to start with?
I was a fan, first of all, and every year I just would kind of reach out to like people I knew and put the feelers out there. I would love to direct an episode. I met Ava first at AFI. She was the keynote speaker of the year that my short film played at the AFI Directing Workshop for Women. And I remember she gave this great speech about like, why not me, you know, like, and it was kind of funny because it was based on this French ad that was just like this bare rug that's lying in front of the television, watching television. And it's sort of like a silly ad, but it was like, ultimately it's like, yeah, why not? Like, why not me? You know? And I just that always stuck with me. And then Kat Candler, I've known for a while, just as a fan and coming from the independent film world and festivals. And I just loved all of her movies. I loved Hallian so much. And then Domaine, when I worked at Sundance as a volunteer and as a person who books lodging and, you know, like all those jobs that also help run the labs, I met Domaine there when she was there with her, I think her film Lift, and became friends, and we've just kind of always been supportive, and I think somebody threw my name in the hat, and I'm just so grateful. It's just incredible.
When you're working on a show like Queen Sugar, when you're directing, what's a typical day like for you?
Directing changes every day. Any TV show, there's 7 days of prep, and so you've got your script and you're breaking it down and you're thinking through things, and then depending every day you're sort of going on tech scouts or going meeting with the production designer and the costume designer and making sure that you're servicing the story. So I was checking in with the writer, and Kat Candler is the showrunner, and just sort of like, I feel like I could do it this way or I could do it this way. And then directing is just super fun, but every day was different. You know, some days we were on a lake with boats and cranes, and then other days we were just one actor, just really intimate in a bathtub. It's always different. When I made my feature film, there were days that were like drag queens and boxing sequences, and sometimes together. And that's the fun of it, is like it all goes back to the service of story and telling a story that hopefully somebody hasn't seen before.
Tell us a little bit about that film.
It's called Alaska's a Drag. It's loosely based on experience that I grew up in Utah, but I went one summer to work in a fish cannery in Alaska just to raise money to move to New York City to become a superstar. Slicing fish all day, you tend to daydream and think about all the other places you wish you were. And I kind of thought it would be an interesting place to set a movie. So I kind of created this character that was loosely based on me and friends that I knew that wants to be a drag superstar, but he's never performed. He's just from this tiny little fishing town. And then because of who he is and because he stands out in a crowd, he gets beat up a lot and he learns to fight back out of necessity, and sort of gets recruited onto a boxing team. So sort of like half Hedwig, half Grace Jones, Rocky. I liked playing in that space because I'm very interested in gender, and this was just a place for me to kind of put these thoughts I've been having as a woman, and just why is masculine better or worse than feminine? What if you got your power from being uber feminine in a way that like drag queens are, that hardly even exists in real life, but there's this, you watch a drag queen turn into a drag queen and there's this power that's really palpable and really interesting. So I thought it would be an interesting place to set a movie, and throughout the film, like as he's coming into his drag persona, he's also learning to let go and stop fighting and maybe move on to his ultimate hope, is to his own power within himself.
What did you learn about masculinity and femininity making that movie?
I always describe it as like drag queens and boxers are sort of the funhouse mirrors of each other. Like they sort of, there's a masculinity and a femininity that doesn't even exist, but it's so invasive in our culture to like learn. Like Rocky is one of my all-time favorite movies. And I remember watching that movie and like my favorite parts are the training sequences and this part where this person is becoming something else, becoming his own person. I love the fight sequences and I love all of that too, but I feel like so much of that movie is just like him coming into his own. So I don't know that I learned anything more, but I loved exploring it because I love when I screen the film somewhere and people are just like, I was just like so enthralled that like he was getting his power from like his drag stuff, you know? And it's like, yeah, it's like it's not necessarily one or the other. We all kind of live within in a bit of that. And I think that honestly, masculine, feminine, I'm from a big family. I have four brothers, one sister. All of us have a little bit of masculine, feminine in all of us. And sometimes my brothers are way more sensitive and emotional than I am. And other times I can be, you know, really tough and I'm the one like holding everybody together. And I think that my parents did a good job of keeping both masculine and feminine as equal and not one better than the other.
We're Amy and Nancy Harrington, and you're listening to the Passionistas Project podcast and our interview with filmmaker, writer, and director Shaz Bennett. Don't miss the season 3 finale of Queen Sugar tonight, August 22nd, on the Oprah Winfrey Network at 10, 9 Central. Now here's more of our conversation with Shaz.
As a creative person, do you ever come across creative block, and how do you sort of get past it?
Every day. I mean, yeah, every day. Like what I've learned is just sit down and write, or just sit down and work. Just put the intention into it, because I feel like every time I'm feeling blocked or I'm feeling easily distracted by the internet and the news and like politics and And suddenly 2 hours have passed and I haven't done a single bit of work. And so that to me feels like a block, you know? So I'll just like turn off the computer and just sometimes even just start free writing and just think of like where I want to be and how to get there, as opposed to like, I can think you can so easily be distracted and that becomes its own block. Just sit down and do the work. I like waking up early when no one's awake yet. Get up early and free write or just start making goals. Someone told me like the amount of goals you can accomplish on a post-it. So in the morning, in a day, you know, so it's like in the morning I'll just get up and I'm like, and I write on a post-it like the 4, 5, 6 things I definitely need to accomplish today. And I set that on my computer and then I keep adding to it. And I it's like I tease myself, you know, but at least you have those 4 or 5 goals. I feel like that is pretty true because I have lists and lists and lists of things I want to do, things I want to accomplish. And every day, if you just take, I look at my long list and I go, okay, I can do these 4.
Is there a lesson that you've learned so far as a director that really sticks with you?
A couple. I mean, there's a couple of very practical ones. On my feature film, things did not go as planned. And I think back to like that time, and part of it was trusting your gut and remembering that vetting people. And it's not that people have intentions to hurt you or screw you over, but it's important to like vet some. Someone told me, vet someone in the job you're hiring them for, and not their aspirational job, but like even if it is an aspirational job, make sure that someone you know, and talk to people and actually take the time to call people and ask them questions. And how was your experience working with this person? Because people will be honest, you know? And so I think that was one thing I've learned, is to vet. And then someone told me, hire slow, fire fast. And that really stuck with me because I think there's a tendency to sometimes when you're trying to get something, especially a very small independent movie, off the page and into the world, is just like, you're like, oh, I've hired someone. But like maybe if you had taken a little bit more time, you could have found someone that would work better with you. Because life is too short to work with people that aren't going to like have your best interests at heart. So I think that was one thing. And then just in general, I think go big. I think with my feature, having drag sequences and fighting and everything, instead of just telling a small 2-person conversation, I went big. And sometimes I didn't 100% succeed, but sometimes I did. And I think that is only going to make me a better director going forward. I knew the things I could do. So I was like, okay, let's try something I don't know I can do and see if I can succeed.
What do you think you learned as an actor that you carried forward to directing?
How vulnerable it is. Like, how honestly vulnerable it is to, like, have to say these words, to own these characters that aren't you, but are you. I mean, even just way back when I was at Sundance in the labs, I remember Robert Redford talking, and I think about it all the time, where he said, like, the actors are the ones whose face is there. Those, whatever you make them do, it's still their face. So if you fail as a director, people will be like, oh, the acting wasn't great, or this, or, you know, there's all these things that you can bury yourself from. But the actor, it's them. It's their face that's up there. So much love and respect and support. You know, it's like, I just look at actors, I'm like, oh, wow. Like, that is something I could never do. But I honestly think everyone should study acting, because you learn so much about yourself, to being able to like break down a script and look at yourself and like and stand in front of people and say those lines and memorize. It's like, I'm so happy I went to school for acting, because it made me a better storyteller. How an actor will break down a script is how I break down a script as a director, how I write something as a writer. Like, I'm so happy I learned that.
Has there been one decision that you've made on your journey so far that you think was really courageous and kind of changed the path that you were on?
I feel like those happen every couple of years. You're sort of thinking, all right, I have to step out of my comfort zone and take a leap, you know. I know moving to LA when I was very young was a big leap for me, moving leaving Utah and coming to LA and working in a coffee shop and, you know, just trying to survive. That was a big one. Moving to New York City, working in a drag bar. That was a huge one. Even just starting the very first thing, like telling my mom I wanted to take tickets at a film festival that I never didn't know anything about. That was big. But then more recently, I think just believing that I could make a feature, believing that I could direct an episode of television, believing that sometimes you stand there and you're like, I can't believe this is real. This is real. Am I awake? You know? But then it's like, yeah, it's awake. It's real. So yeah, go for it.
Did you have influential role models, female role models as a kid?
For sure. Yeah. I mean, starting with my mother first, I would say my mom. My mother's name's Moana, which is so interesting now. It's like a Disney movie. It's like growing up, no one knew how to pronounce her name. She was a journalist. She was a big influence on my whole family. She died when we were way too young. So she's still this looming big spirit in all of our lives. She's probably the most influential person. You know, she would often talk to us and loved, like we would tell this story sometimes, we never swore as kids because when we would swear, she would tell us, she would make us sit down with the thesaurus and she would be like, is that the word you're really trying to express? You know, because she was a journalist and loved words. So it became this like, part of it was like, you didn't swear because you were like, okay, yeah, you're right. That is not the exact word I was using. But then also you're like, oh, if I swear, I'm going to have to sit with mom for 20 minutes at the thesaurus. So she was a huge, huge influence. And I've been very lucky, honestly. And I feel, I said this the other day to my friend, I was like, I really feel bad for people who don't have strong women in their lives because they've just improved me so much. My friend Elle Johnson, who got me my first writing job, all the women that I went to the AFI Directing Workshop for Women with, all the Fox 20 directors, all the Quinn Sugar directors, they've been huge influences in me and taught me so much and shared their knowledge with me. I've never had this moment with any, I've been really lucky. Like I've just never had a moment where I felt like a woman was undermining me or trying to cut me down. Like I've just always had support and great, great women, you know, and part of it, maybe that's part of it's me, part of it's, being used to it, but also just being around directors and artists, like, no, you're never competing for the same job, you know, like, I remember when I first wanted to be an actor, I remember an acting teacher told me, like, you're not competing with anyone in this room, you're competing with the Meryl Streep, the Kerry Washingtons, you know, the huge actors that are just, like, the greatest actors in the world, those are the people you're competing with, the ones that are sitting in this room, these are only the people you're supporting. And I have friends early on told me, like, you network side to side, you know, instead of looking up, you're always like, kind of, these are the people we're going to rise up together, we're going to like help each other up. And that has been 100% my experience. And every person that's ever helped me has been someone I knew, like, that we've been in the trenches together.
Who are some of your favorite cultural heroines?
Grace Jones. Definitely, like, top of my list. Sigourney Weaver. Like, I just loved how powerful she was in Aliens. Oprah Winfrey. Ava. Kat. Demain. Close people that have really supported me, for sure, those people. Big cultural ones. I would love to, like, you know, sit and talk to Hillary Clinton at some point, because I just think, what a wild ride the last, like, 4 years has been. I mean, for her whole life, but, like, you know, especially the last 4 years, such an interesting, iconic moment in our lives that I always still channel Grace Jones.
What advice would you give to someone who wants to be a director?
I think of the advice that I take from, you know, people like Ava and Victoria Mahoney, where it's just, like, stop asking for permission, just go out and make it. Especially now, there's so much opportunity. There's grants, there's cameras that you could borrow from friends. You know, it's like if you have a story to tell, just go tell it and find other people who want to work with you. Put an ad in, like, on your Facebook or Twitter or whatever. Just like, I'm making something this week. Anybody want to help me? And you start to develop friendships that way that will ultimately be the people you're going to work with the rest of your life. So I just say, just go make it. Just don't ask for permission, just go there. I remember a long time ago when I was first wanting to make movies, and I found this YouTube thing, the Victoria Mahoney, where she was saying that one of the pieces of advice someone said to her was just set a date and get the train going. And then the other part of that is, if you're not ready, then the train goes without you. So you have to be, you know, conscious of that, but also just set the date. I mean, that's when I was a performance artist and a storyteller, I would just, all I needed was a microphone, and, or even, you know, at the Edinburgh Film Festival, I just would stand on the street, you know? So it's like, I can stand on a street somewhere and talk, and that can be its own stage, you know? So just not asking, not expecting it to be one way, just whatever way it comes, that's what it is.
Do you have a mantra you live by?
I try to just be kind and treat people the way I would want to be treated, and be respectful. Those are my big mantras in life. I just feel like life is too short. We're all humans. Everyone is emotional. Everyone has their sensitivities. So just be kind to each other.
What's your definition of success?
I aspire for success for me would be when I'm having to turn down jobs that I want to take because I'm too busy. Like, that feels like, oh, wow, I've kind of made it now. If I can need to turn down work that I would love to take, that would be great. But also success, I think, you know, that's the business side. I think success is as a person, you know, making sure that you're influencing others and that, like, other people would look at you as somebody who supported them and care about you and have family and friends that would miss you if you're gone, you know. Like, I said my mother died when I was pretty young, and I still think about, like, what a huge hole she is in all of our lives. And it's like, she wasn't even, we've lived longer without her than we lived with her, and yet what a successful human, in that people still come up to me on the street in Salt Lake and they're like, I loved your mother. That feels like a great success.
What would you say has been your biggest professional challenge, and how have you overcome it?
Every day is a challenge. I think, I don't know that I can really say. I mean, I've been pretty lucky to, with at times in my life where I really needed someone to come through, they have, and helped me move my career forward. So I've been pretty lucky in that sense. Challenges, you know, getting someone to take you seriously, making sure that they're seeing you the way you see yourself and the way that you want to be seen. You know, I think that happens a lot for women, is that you have to constantly prove yourself, and people keep asking you to, like, show me what you did last. And I think that's been a challenge, because you're sort of at a certain point, you're like, when do I have to stop proving myself? Like, when do I just, does my work stand on its own? I don't know that that's necessarily just for me. I think that happens to a lot of people, but that's been a challenge, you know, to make sure, like, especially for me that started as a ticket taker and then moving all the way up. It's like, I've known some people in the independent film world since I was 13 years old, and they kind of still picture me as this little kid taking tickets. And it's like, dude, that was 20 years ago, you know? And then same thing, you know, in television, you know, I started as a writer's assistant, and then you work your way up to a script coordinator, and then you're a staff writer, and there's this natural progression. But then you meet somebody like Ava, where she's just like, start your own rules, you know, like, you don't always have to ask people to, like, give you this job and move your way up. And it is difficult to make people believe you and believe in you, so why not just believe in yourself?
Thanks for listening to the Passionistas Project podcast and our interview with Shaz Bennett. Don't miss the season 3 finale of Queen Sugar tonight, August 22nd, on OWN, the Oprah Winfrey Network, at 10 p.m., 9 Central. And be sure to subscribe to the Passionistas Project podcast so you don't miss any of our upcoming inspiring guests.